thinking that we need to learn how to drink and eat of spiritual things. We need more of it in our lives. And I'm constantly praying to God, Lord, give me more time with you and help me to really search after you, to really dig into the word and to meditate upon it. And Lord, help me to be hungry after you. And in Luke, I thought about Mary and Martha there, you know, in the 10th chapter, you know, Jesus often went to Martha and Mary's house because he didn't have a pillow to lay his head. He really didn't have a home. But his friends, they were his friends, and they opened their door to him, and not only to him, but to the disciples, and Martha fed them, and there was no expense that she could not give to Jesus and his disciples. She was willing to just work, and there's a good thing about a woman that works hard and provides the meal. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a good side of Martha that I can see that's a good thing. But we want to focus on Mary, because Mary did something. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. And, you know, we can imagine how that Martha probably thought, why don't Mary come in here and help me? I mean, if you were fixing a big dinner, you'd think your sister should come help you. And we can see that, how she would think that way. But Jesus reproved her, and she had a sister called Mary in the 39th verse, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. We sang a song tonight, at the cross of Jesus, bowing. This is where we find a safe retreat from a world of care and trouble. We go to that cross and we pray to the Lord, and he helps us and he encourages us. He lifts us up, and that's a sweet place to be. But that's why he said, Martha, you're troubled about many things. And you know, we all get troubled. Men too. Men and women both get troubled about many things. We get very, very busy. And you know, I believe the Lord told us in his word, what you find with your hand to do it with all your might. And we have nothing against ambition and doing things and being busy. But you know, one thing is the most important thing, and that's choosing Jesus and to sit at his feet and you know, love him and desire to be with him. And you know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Seemed like the Lord really inspired me with the scripture in Revelations 3:20. You know, we often think about when Jesus is talking about knocking at the door, and that he's talking to sinners. You know, he's knocking at their door. He wants them to be saved, which is true. That is true. But the Lord gave me another thought, like, he's knocking at your door every day. He's knocking at your door to pray. He's knocking at your door to spend some time with him. He desires, he woos you, he wants you to come and pray. We know that because it happens to me. And you know, the Lord will say, you need to go pray. You need to come be with and pray and read the Bible. But it says here in the 20th verse of the 3rd chapter, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, you know, I was just thinking, I looked up the word sup, and it was very interesting. And we'll do this for illustration. Good water. And you know, you sup. That's supping. It's just taking little small amounts. It's not, have you ever gulped water down when you're real thirsty? We can take a water bottle, and when I'm real thirsty, I go, and it's gone. Because I'm so thirsty, I can just drink it fast if I'm that thirsty. But supping is taking little amounts, small amounts of Jesus all day long. And then sup, it doesn't mean you always take small amounts, because sup is part of supper. Supper is a large meal. There's sometimes we have a great long time with God. But we want to remember that we can't always do that. We can't always have 2 or 3 hours. We love that time when we can study the Bible and get a commentary out and just get away from everything and just shut the door and just spend time with Jesus. And we don't even hardly think about the time. 2 hours, look at the clock, and we've spent maybe longer. A lot of the spiritual evangelists years ago would get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and spend 2 or 3 hours in prayer before they started their day. And, you know, that's a good thing. We're not saying we always sup, but this is the Bible. Sup means small amounts with Jesus. We need small amounts with the Lord all day long, like pray without ceasing. And, you know, I was thinking, how can we incorporate? Maybe you can help me, tell me some things, you know. But I was just thinking of different things that we can incorporate, small supping times with the Lord. And we get up, we pray. We pray to the Lord, we thank Him for, I think about that song that says, still with thee, when purple morning waketh, when the shadows flee. Thus it will be in that bright morning that I will still be with you. It's a beautiful song. I know some of you probably know that song. Still with thee, it's a beautiful song. But you know, just thinking about, we wake up, we pray a little while, and thank the Lord. This is kind of being the habit of my life now. And just open my eyes, I try to pray right away. And just, it might be a small little bit that time, but I try to just thank the Lord for giving me health, giving me a mind to wake up, and I'm awake again. We've left our unconscious state, and we're ready to serve the Lord and do whatever the Lord brings to our heart that day. And mine, and a thanksgiving, like we heard tonight, a real thanksgiving to God. And, you know, and then later on, we may have time where you can get your Bible out and read it and get down on your knees. But we just want to encourage you to sup with the Lord. Sup with the Lord and don't feel like you're under bondage that, well, I didn't get to spend 30 minutes today. I didn't get to spend an hour. Well, you know, there's sometimes maybe your life gets so busy, but just continually be with Jesus. And if the Lord allows you to can spend more time, that's wonderful. You can have a supper with Him. And I think about when we have meetings together and we're in service hours and we're supping with the Lord. We're enjoying the Lord. We're enjoying being with the saints. And when our camp meetings come, we enjoy that time and it's refreshing. And there's times that Lord allows that to be in our life. He wants that to be in our life. But, you know, remember that no matter where you are, wherever you go, you can talk to the Lord and you can know the importance of spiritual food. Our soul will die without spiritual food. There's a little saying that, you know, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Well, just about 7 days without prayer would make you on the verge of dying spiritually. You know what I'm trying to say? It makes you very weak. You have to have the Lord to live a spiritual conquering life. And it's a shield. It's a protection against the enemy to spend time with God. So when the Lord knocks on your door and you hear His voice, open the door and come to Him and sup with Him. You know, I was thinking about when sometimes if we go out to dinner with our husband, or lunch or something, we don't want Him just sitting beside of us. We want Him to sit across from us and enjoy that supping together, to being together. You know, and that's what Jesus wants. He wants to be with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to tell us things. And so we want to go to Him and do that. I thought over here, Matthew 4, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, but there's what we want to get a hold of is something that He said to Satan. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember? After He fasted for 40 days and nights, He was hungry. And the tempter came to Him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. There's 2 ways that we live. When we have abundant life, we live physically by eating food that sustains our life. We were studying this, so we thought, well, Jesus fasted for 40 days. And You know, that's a long time to go without food. And so we were curious to wonder, like, where does it start to begin a starvation and death? And this is just what I've read, so that's how I'm putting it out. It says anywhere between, and it, maybe it could be earlier than that, but that's what it said, 45 days to 61 days people can die from starvation. So that's what I read, so I'm just quoting what I read. But, you know, I figured this way. This is what I was figuring. If Jesus fasted 40 days, then you probably wouldn't die fasting 40 days. Because I don't think Jesus would be putting something in there to harm us. You know, that someone got a notion to do that and copy the Lord. I don't think he's going to tell us, you know, that where it would be dangerous for us. So, you know, people think sometimes we can't do that. But, you know, Jesus did it and also Elijah did it. We're going to turn it out. He did 40 days. But, you know, you're getting on dangerous ground when you go past that because, you know, that's dangerous. But the thought is you cannot live without food after a while. Natural food, you will die. So we have, and a lot of people can go longer without food if they drink water. And that helps them, you know. But have you ever been without water? We're trying to compare it to spiritual things. Have you ever been without water for a long time and your mouth gets real dry and you're real thirsty and, you know, then you get a cold bottle of water or something and you drink that down. And that has happened to me and then it just filled me with energy. And I was amazed to think that water can fill you with that much energy. It really does. I mean, water sustains our life. And, it's just amazing how God made us. But what he's trying to, he said to Satan here, you know, Satan's trying to tempt him with bread, just a loaf of bread or whatever. But he's saying, yeah, he was hungry. He wanted some bread. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone. This is Jesus' word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how you're living spiritually, is the word of God. So you want to get it, you want to get it somehow. If you have a Bible promise box, sometimes I'll be going out the door and I'll grab one or two of those, put them in my purse, and then later when I get a chance, I'll read it again. And I try to get the Word of God in me as much as I can. Or we can listen to, you know what you can do, you do it. You know, you can listen to hymns, you can listen to CDs with music. We got the phones now where we can, sometimes I'll be around the house and some hymn will come to me and I'll just Google it and turn it on, listen to it. It's just amazing what we can do at our fingertips. We can use that for good. And there's just so many ways that you can feed your soul all day long. We just want to encourage you to sup with the Lord. And when he knocks on your heart, don't just say, oh, you know, later. Brother Bob and Enid today, he told a story. It was kind of amazing, but I want to tell you what happened to him. He said not very long ago he had a birthday. Well, there was another girl in the family that had a birthday before him, and they bought balloons. Now, this is a spiritual thing, but I'm telling you. But they bought balloons for this girl, and his birthday was real close by, so they saved him and used them for him, gave them to him. Well, by then, the helium was going down, so the balloon was about half off the floor. You know, the balloons was going down. But he said, the Lord kind of told him, they moved up his study upstairs, said, you need to go study and pray. You know how that thought will come to you. Think, well, we want to do it. We want to do that. You know, but then something will come up. And I think he built a fire or something, got interested in the fire, and he was sitting by the fire. But he was going to go read and pray. You know, he wasn't, but he just wasn't doing it right then. And he said he had, that balloon was like I said, it was like halfway off the floor. It was amazing what this balloon did. And he's sitting by the fire, and the balloon comes out of the utility room, I think, floats in there, right at him, and it said, happy birthday. And then the balloon started traveling, and it started going upstairs, and it went upstairs, and it went into his study. And he said, it was amazing. He said, I thought, is there an angel taking this balloon and leading me to my study? He got in there real quick. He got in there and read and prayed. But this is amazing things that happen to us, isn't it? It's just strange that balloon could have that power. It was losing helium, but maybe it was God that was leading him. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know everything about the spiritual world. I just know it's real. I know it's real. And God can do many things to stir us up. So, you know, the Lord, He loves us and He wants to help us and He wants us to draw. I think about over here in St. John 21. We may quote some of it, but you know, Jesus was there and His disciples, after He died, you know, they just thought that, well, I'll just go back to my previous occupation. There's nothing wrong with fishing. But Peter was a little down, you know. I mean, Jesus had died. And they just probably thought, oh, what's the use? You know, our Savior died. And they just were just a little bit down, you know. And they thought, well, He said, I'm going to go fishing. And so the other disciples said, we're going to go with you. But Jesus went there on that shore, and He had bread and fish, and He was cooking it. And He said, and He talked to them. And He said, children, have you any meat? And they said, He said, cast your net on the other side. And there was a lot of fish. And then they said, it's the Lord. And they recognized this was after He died on the cross. He had rose from the dead. He went to visit them. And He had the fish and the bread there cooking. And He said, come and dine. And then He began, I'm just kind of talking about it, but it's in the 21st chapter here. And then, you know, He said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? You know, I just love Jesus the way He is with us. I mean, if you read about how He dealt with His disciples, it's amazing. He's so kind and so tender. He didn't go out there and say, what are you fishing for? You need to be working for me. Why are you doing that? He did it in a different way. He did it in a wise way. And He said, Peter, do you love me more than this occupation? Do you love me more than catching fish? I called you to be fishers of men. He said, go feed my sheep. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then you go feed my sheep. So, you know, I mean, he just kept bringing it home to him. You love me more than this? Go feed my sheep. You, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. I'd do anything for you. Then go feed my sheep. He didn't say a whole lot, but that's what I want you to do. You need to do what I want you to do. Feed my sheep. I'm going to get a hold of you, Peter. I'm going to get you out of this again. Get out of that fishing boat. Get out of that fishing. You got to go fish for men. You got a job to do. And he just gently, that's why the Lord sups with us. He comes after us. He talks to us. He woos us. He won't give up on you. He apprehends you. Do you know that when you get saved, you're apprehended of God? He won't easily let you go because He loves you. And He wants to get you to heaven. He won't easily let His children go. Because He loves us dearly. He gave His life for us. Oh, praise God today. I just thank the Lord for His blessings. I was thinking about, I'd read, might share that a little bit with you. But first we want to go over to Kings 19. You remember Elijah in Kings 19? Oh, he thought he was a powerhouse for God for a little bit there. He went out there and he just slayed the prophets of Baal and he just stood up for God and everything. But then this little woman, this Jezebel, said, you know, I'm gonna get you, Elijah, so to speak. Your life is gonna be gone. I'm gonna have you killed. And you know, he kind of changed, didn't he? And Jezebel said in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And so he went under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. But the Lord, you know, the Lord's not going to accept that. The Lord's not going to accept us getting discouraged. He wants to lift us up out of that. He wants to keep you encouraged. He wants to sup with you and bring you back. And what did he send? He sent an angel. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now, I know this was regular food, but it was also a spiritual meaning too. We want to take it as spiritual meaning. Arise and eat, saints. Arise and eat what God has for you. Fill your cup running over. And you know, just fill it running over, and we can just get excited about what God has for us, and this meeting that's coming up. God's going to do mighty things, and we want to speak that, speak a blessing, and speak thanksgiving on what God's going to do for us. Oh, praise God. Arise and eat. And then not only just one time, he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You know, the journey that he had to go, he lived on that for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted too. I don't know if he did it deliberately or he couldn't get to food, but it said he arose and did and eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Praise God. Praise God. We need strength, saints. We need strength spiritually to fight the enemy, to be strong and be soldiers for God and be what the Lord wants. We need strength from God. We need his word. There's sometimes we just feed on his word and forget about what the clock says. We forget because we're so involved in the word of God. We forget what time it is for a little while, and then we look and see. But, you know, it's just so good. You know what I'm talking about. You get to reading it, and you get lost in the Word of God. Because I'm not lost, but I shouldn't say that word. But, you know, just get inspired with it, and you just let everything else go, and you're reading the Word, and it's feeding your soul. We've learned something about there is power in this Word. There's so much. The Spirit and the Word is connected in this Bible. Did you know that? When you read a scripture, it is not just the word only, but the Spirit witnesses with the word. That's why the ministry should use scriptures. We gotta use scriptures, not just what we think. We use the Bible because the Spirit connects with the word. The word and the Spirit is powerful. And it's powerful. And it's not just a book. It's not just, the Bible is inspired by God. And it's part of God. And so the Lord wants you to, you know, naturally, when we eat food, we get energy. We build up our immune system. There's many nutrients and many minerals that we need in our body to operate right. And, you know, food is to be we thank God for it. And it's something to sustain our life. God made us that way. He created us that way. Same with spiritual food. We need it. We got to eat it. We got to eat it every day. We got to drink it. The woman at the well, she came and she said, have you got some kind of water that I, you know, don't know of or something like that? But he said, you know, if you would ask me for water, I might have it just exactly right, but he said, if you would ask me for water, I've got water to give you that will live in you, that will spring up in you, everlasting life. Do you know, according to that, we really believe through the Holy Spirit that we have a well of spiritual water in us. Yes. Springing up. It can ignite. It can spring up any moment because it's there all the time. All we got to do is tap into it, saints. All we got to tap into the Word of God and tap into the spiritual life that's in us. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? He lives in us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He's just with us all the time. Jesus, praise his holy name. Oh, we just thank the Lord tonight for his blessings. We wanted to share something with you a little bit here. We was reading the thought about fasting and starvation compared to being starved with the Word of God. You know what's wrong with the people of the world that are not saved? They're starved with no Word. They don't read the Bible and they're starving. Their souls are starving. That's what's wrong with them. If they would get involved with God and start reading the Bible and searching for God, that way they get some help. But they're perishing. It's pitiful. I mean, they don't know nothing about Jesus like they should. They might know. They might have heard about Jesus. They might have heard the Christmas story. But they are not supping with Christ. And they don't have any life, spiritual life in them. It's sad. And the devils took over. But we want to have spiritual life. But anyway, I was reading In Belfast, Ireland, there was a prison there back in the 1980s, I think it was. They wrote five things that they wanted things changed. They wanted to be able to wear their own clothes. They wanted more visits from their family. I just felt like they weren't being treated right. So they said, we're just going to starve. They began to starve, and they just, days went on, weeks went on. They weren't eating. Well, this got attention, even from the United States. It got attention of this place in Ireland. And at the end of the story, I didn't study all of it, but end of the story, 10 men died from starvation. But it did bring about some change for these prisoners. They changed and tried to, you know, be better toward them. But the thing was, what we're just thinking about, people get attention. People get, when you starve like that, when someone starts starving, it bothers other people. And they want to help, and they want to, you know, this person's not eating, they're starving. And it brings their attention. But what about starving on the Word of God? People are starving for the Word of God. And they need to hear it. They need to hear it. And we're in an age now where they can get it off the internet. And it's wonderful how God is blessing, in a good way, what I'm talking about. But you know, we have no reason to starve spiritually because we have all of it available. We have the Bible every day. And if we don't read the Bible every day, shame on us. We need to read it. We need to get it in our heart. We need to write it on little papers and stick it on our mirror, stick it on your car. Memorize the scriptures, you know. Listen to the tapes. Listen to the songs. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to read, Lord willing, one more scripture over here in Ezekiel. You know, Jesus wants to, he wants to feed us. He wants to feed us and he wants to help us. Ezekiel 34, and it says in the 14th, well, let's read the 13th. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. You know, that's what the Lord wants. He wants his sheep to be fed. He wants us to eat healthy. He wants us to eat the Word of God and bless our souls. And, oh, praise God. We just want to share some of this inspiration with you tonight. And there was a couple of songs. I won't sing them unless you sing with me. But but anyway, I'll read some of this song. But this one song, as the deer panteth for the water, and there is a scripture for that, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength. We want strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. Isn't that wonderful? He's our friend and our brother, but he's also a king. And the other song, Dina might be able to help us with this when we sit down, but Honey in the Rock. Have you heard that song? There's honey in the rock, my brother. But it says, oh, my brother, do you know the Savior who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There is honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There is honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There is honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drank from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Praise God.